If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Yes, all of those nations, I believe, are going to be paying us tariffs. Or else. 7:36 with John Landecker, welcoming political pundit and analyst from WGN-TV, and just a great person about everything, Paul Lisniak. Good evening, Paul. How are you this fine day?
I'm good, John. Thanks. I thought I was listening to a Marx Brothers routine for a moment.
Yeah, I don't know who put that together, but I found it amusing, but not controversial. And
no,
also,
not at all. It's just kind of fun.
Right, and applicable to the list of nations in the world that I believe tariffs are going to be levied against. Is that the right term, tariffs levied against?
Levied upon.
Upon, okay, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, I saw a list. Go ahead.
I just want to clarify. What that suggests is, you know, people still believe, because and it's the way the president says it. He keeps talking about the billions of dollars, $50 billion a month are going to come in, and that the assumption is that they're coming in from these foreign countries, that if we put a 50% tariff on Brazil is going to be sending us loads of money. But I think people, and I'm using Brazil for a reason, because he did hit them with 50%, and not because of economic reasons, and what people are finding now when they go to buy coffee, which we get a lot of from Brazil, mm-hmm. they're going to Costco or various places going, wait a minute, this thing is like doubling in price. What happened to the coffee? Because Brazil is not paying the tariff. The tariff is paid at the border by the importer. And the options are either Brazil says, we'll eat it, which they're not, or the importer could say, I'll eat it, which they might. But ultimately, it goes on to the stores and to the consumer. And even if right now some of these stores are, some of the importers and exporters are eating the tariff, they won't keep doing it that way. So we will eventually, as consumers, feel that. That was a very long answer to just a
No. This isn't, I don't think the whole, I think this topic's not an easily discussed or topic at all, because it seems to vacillate to a certain extent as to what amount is being used to in the tariffs, what countries are being selected,
right,
whether or not there's going to be a waiting period. Has there been a last-minute negotiation to lower them or raise them? Or it's a very fluid, would that be the right term, a fluid situation?
Well, sure. I mean, just today's news, the president announced another 90-day delay with China
right.
in intent to get a deal. And, you know,
exactly.
just a few days ago, or actually the end of last week, he announced 90 days with Mexico. Now, I'm not going to criticize him for that. I mean, you know, he puts in a wait because he thinks maybe we can do something here. And, mm-hmm. and if we're going to do something, that might be a good thing for us. We'll see what the deal is. But, yeah, but I think a lot of people that keep thinking we're going to get these deals and that's going to be it. No, he seems to be moving things as he sees fit. But I think it's just important people understand that whatever the tariff turns out to be in the end, we pay it. not Brazil, not Mexico.
Yeah, that's the way it always is, isn't it? You know, speaking of paying for things, I'm pretty sure that folks have noticed, because my house certainly has, going to the grocery store over the past few weeks, the price of everything is headed upward, like at an increasing rate. I mean, I hear everybody talking about this, how much they have to pay for groceries. They can't believe it. I mean, everyone, you know, which is obviously not a good thing. And there's got to be a reason for that. And I'm not sure what that is, but.
I can explain that a little bit.
Yeah.
Or part of it anyway, which is that some of the tariffs that we're getting hit with, some of those tariffs, when they're for, you know, goods like a chair or something like that, stores have bought ahead. So they already have their inventory for maybe 6 months from now. So you're not feeling it because they saw it coming and stores could look ahead. when you're talking about perishables, coffee, food, fruit that comes from other countries, you're feeling that now because you can't order that 6 months ahead. So that's why you're feeling the food. Now, I noticed, you know, I mentioned this on Friday night. I do the 9 o'clock news. We do a politics week in review. And I always kind of stop at the Jewel on my way in and do a little shopping. And I was stunned just to find cereal. You know, got to get the cereal. And $9, $8. And I'm not talking about for the big family pack. Yeah. You know, I mean,
yeah, I do know.
And that really struck me at how much that has gone. And that's because sugar is expensive. All these items are expensive, especially when we're getting them from overseas. And there's a tariff.
Well, some people can't afford it. I mean, they might have been able to afford a $5 box of cereal. But now, what the price that you mentioned, I mean, these things are getting to a level that, I don't know who they expect to be able to afford this in the long run. Maybe in the short term, people can deal with it. But if this is something that's going to continue to increase, there's going to have to be there's going to be a tipping point at some place along the way.
Well, that's right. Well, and, you know, when we talked last time, we were on a different topic of the big budget bill when we talked last time. And we mentioned the fact that one of the things that the Republicans who passed the bill were gambling on is the in the bill wouldn't be felt until after the midterm elections, and the loss of the good stuff wouldn't be felt until after the next presidential election, right? But when you're talking about this, which is the tariffs, which the president is doing single-handedly, right, even though the Constitution essentially gives the power of well, you would read the Constitution to give the power of taxing and therefore tariffs to the Congress, they've just stepped away from all of that and let the president do what he wants. The president says we're in an emergency situation. Congress hasn't questioned that. So apparently whatever the emergency is all over the world, that's what we're doing. But my point is that, you know, the president is having people think no bad consequences here. It's money flowing in. But your point is so well taken, which is the more people start to go to the grocery stores and start going, I can't afford this. Listen, that cost Joe Biden the election. That and immigration cost Joe Biden the election. So people vote their pocketbooks. We'll see where that is a year from now.
Yeah, I remember, you know, everybody was talking about the price of eggs. You can't get an egg anymore, or you have to pay extra for an egg.
Right.
You want it on something at a restaurant. That's in the rearview mirror now. That's long gone. I don't hear anybody talking about that. I mean, there's a whole new...
Eggs have come down a little bit, John. What was $9 and $12 and however price, they are down. And the funny thing is, I'll pay now. I'll go buy $5 or $6. I'm going, hey, that's a bargain.
Right, but then it's surrounded
by $1.99.
Right, but then it's surrounded by all these other items that have increased.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, if people, I used to, correct me if I'm wrong, do people still vote with their pocketbook or their wallet, so to speak?
Absolutely. And the famous words of James Carville back in the Clinton days, it's the economy, stupid.
Stupid, right.
Right, that was the price. Anytime you think it's something else, listen, we're not going to revisit 2024, but, you know, Kamala Harris, one of the things she really didn't address was the economy. She kept talking about joy and other kinds of things, but they kept just kind of, you know, the economy's okay and sidestepped it. And you can't fool the public. And that'll be the same thing in 2026. If indeed these tariffs are raising raising prices of food up and up and up, and gas and everything else that get impacted, the president can say what he wants about how great things are, because he's saying prices. Every time he talks, prices are down, everything is cheap. If that's not what you're experiencing in the grocery store, then those words are going to fall flat after a while. Except maybe to his strongest supporters, but even they will have to say at some point, "Yeah, I can't afford the cereal anymore."
One thing we can all say, everybody has to eat and they have to pay for it. And that's one place where a lot of things can play out. We'll have more with Paul. We'll have more with Paul when we come back in 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Landecker with Paul Lesniak from WGN TV, where he's the political analyst. And we've been talking about tariffs. But Paul, I'd like to just shift gears just a little bit to something that's current, as a matter of fact, today. And that is the administration sending the National Guard into Washington, D.C. to, as I understand it, either become the police or help the police one way or the other. I'm not quite sure. And it occurred to me a couple of things. First of all, Washington, D.C. is not a state. And therefore, a lot of their a lot of things that are a lot, the way that they govern what happens in that District of Columbia, Congress has a lot to do with that already, mm-hmm. don't they? Don't they have a lot to do with that?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's exactly the point. So we have 50 states. D.C. is not one of them.
Right. And so therefore, they rely on Congress for a lot of decisions.
They do. And so what's happening today in D.C., it's sort of interesting. First of all, this notion of the president, once again, using emergency power. So the president has powers more so in D.C. than he does in the states.
Exactly.
All right?
Exactly.
So he does have more power there.
Right.
There are certain limitations on his power. If, for example, when he sent the National Guard to Los Angeles a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. people were like, wait, how can he? You can't get in. Gavin Newsom said, I didn't request this. I have to request this. You can't do that. But when the president declares a national emergency, it now appears that the Supreme Court, even though other courts might step in and go, there's no evidence here of an emergency, the Supreme Court has, in what is called its shadow docket. What is that? Well, you know, we all follow all year the cases that get argued before the Supreme Court, and we cover them, and in June they issue a decision, and we read them, and I go on the air, and we talk about them, right? That's a routine thing. But there's something that's been growing in the Supreme Court, and it's called the shadow docket. And those are decisions the court makes because somebody says, hey, can you tell us whether we can do this? No mm-hmm. briefing, no arguments, no nothing.
Right.
And what the Supreme Court has been doing as of late is saying, yeah, Mr. President, you said there's an emergency, good enough for us. And so that's been giving him power to do a lot of things in other states. D.C., he has some of that power anyway. You saw the mayor of D.C. come out today basically saying, we don't need this. This is not the crime is not up here. There is no emergency here. So it will get challenged in the courts, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Supreme Court in their shadow docket, meaning no arguments, no briefs, ends up just supporting whatever the president does. That's what they've been doing.
Well, if in fact there is no need in Washington, D.C., there's no catastrophe going on, there's no emergency, and he's sending in the National Guard anyway, then what's his bottom line on this? What's he going after?
Well, that's an interesting thing. Depends who you talk to. Mm-hmm. If you talk to supporters of the president, they're going to mm-hmm. tell you that he's going in to take care of this crime make things work. And then, and I've seen it on, you know, X and other places, you know, first D.C. and Chicago, get ready. And some other states, get ready. If you don't support everything the president does and what he does, you just stand behind him, then I think the skeptical point of view is to say, this is the test run. I'm going to do it, the president, I'm going to do this in D.C., where I kind of have extra powers anyway, so that's less of the argument. But once I do it in D.C., and once people say, hey, wait a minute, we've got the homeless, because part of this plan is homeless got to go, and he wants, as he called them today, slums and whatever, we're going to shut those down. I don't know what that actual plan is, but if all that stuff begins to happen, the theory is that a lot of people around the country, certainly his supporters, will stand behind that and say, that's great stuff. And now when he decides to send the National Guard to Chicago, that's our relevant point of view here, all of a sudden, you know, he may get more support than he otherwise might get when people say, hey, he did a great job in D.C., let's let him clean up Chicago. So I personally think it's a starting point for what is part of a grander plan. If he's not successful in D.C. in doing things, well, then that may all fall apart. But all of that is a side issue, John, as to whether really should this be going on in the first place? should this be what's happening? But again, it is happening. So all we can do now is to then wait for the results.
Well, hypothetically, allegedly, I would think that there's only one person who thinks that this really should be happening, and that's the president of the United States. And then allegedly, the people who fall in behind him think this might be happening and should be happening. And then also his devoted following think that this should be happening because he said it should be happening. But just because he said it should be happening doesn't mean that things are happening. And but today it's sort of difficult to disagree with the president on anything.
Well, that's why I gave you the two views, and you stated one of them very well. On the flip side, you have, for example, Mayor Brandon Johnson, who, because Trump went after him this morning, I mean, he called out Johnson and Pritzker specifically.
Right.
And one of the things, Johnson issued a statement basically saying, crime, and I know people aren't thrilled with crime levels here. I'm simply saying what the mayor said. But, you know, overall violent crimes are down here, whatever. And he then, at the bottom of this memo, he puts it on the issue, and it says for background purposes, he talks about the hundreds of millions of dollars that this budget, the president's budget, has cut
right.
from violence prevention yeah. and all the yeah. stuff that might go. So, you know, Johnson raises the question, well, if you really want to address this issue, what are you calling, you know, what are you cutting all this funding for the programs that address the issue? So that's what, that's Johnson's way of saying, this isn't about attacking, right. you know, crime in the city. It's about taking over the city. That would be the response from those who are not standing well, behind President Trump.
We're also almost behind, almost out of time, but there's one thing, I just an observation. One was that Washington, D.C. is not a state. So that's a different situation. The,
yes.
In California, there had been, I don't know if you want to call it a disaster, but there had been confrontations and there was some limited violence. And, you know, you send, he wants to send in the National Guard because something there is, something's actually happening there. Nothing's happening here. You know, I mean, there's no clash with ICE agents in the street. I mean, there may be some protests at some centers and things like that, but nothing of a headline national news-making nature. You know, it's not that widespread a news story. And I think that if he comes here, that's a slightly different situation and environment.
Well, I recognize that we're short of time, so let me just make two brief points for you. Number one, keep in mind that what went on in Los Angeles, if you asked the mayor, the governor of California, they would have said, we didn't have any big problems here either. Nothing that our local police force couldn't control. So once again, overall steps taken. Look at the bigger picture for what happened here today. One of the reasons that the president brought this all up was he started talking about our no bail policy, right? The zero bail situation. And that's what he says he's going after. So, and Pritzker had to deal with that. So if you view the sending the troops in as part of a crime thing, a violence thing, and now you're tying it to no cash bail as an issue,
yeah.
I will say this, that's wearing my lawyer hat. He can't get rid of no cash bail in Illinois or any other state that has it. It's a state law, and they can't do it. The problem will be if he gets Congress to pass a law that forbids no cash bail in any state,
right.
then you'll have a challenge of which wins, yep. state versus federal. Supreme Court will probably stand behind a federal law that says that has to supersede the state law. It won't be that easy, but we'll see how it unfolds. But I think that's what it is. I think this is, again, a larger plan to go after much more
yeah.
Than just necessarily existing crime. And it's a way of then, now you're getting rid of sanctuary cities, all of that.
Paul, it's always great to hear what you have to say. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Paul Lisnick, WGN
TV
political analyst.